Our world is obsessed with impressive people. The talented, the influential, the successful, the polished, the platformed, the people who look confident, capable, competent, and charismatic. And because of that, a lot of us now just quietly assume that Jesus could never really use someone like me. Not me. I'm too ordinary, inconsistent, awkward, fearful, unknown. Some of us look around church today and assume God mainly uses the confident, people who always know what to say, who seem bold, sound spiritual, who appear to have their lives together. But then you come to Matthew chapter 10, and the people that Jesus uses are astonishingly ordinary. Fishermen, a tax collector, a political zealot, mostly unknown names, and amongst them is Judas. If this was a ministry recruitment drive, nobody's building a conference around these guys. Nobody's saying this is a group that's going to change the world. Yet these are the people that Jesus sends out to carry out his kingdom into the world, because the kingdom of heaven has always moved forward through deeply ordinary people remaining close to an extraordinary king. Look there with me, won't you, at verse 1. Jesus called his 12 disciples to him. Before Jesus sends them out, he first calls them to himself. Before they preach, before they heal, before they suffer, before they face opposition, before they carry the weight of representing him into the world, Jesus gathers them to himself. Before the call to do comes the call to be. And that matters, because mission in the kingdom of God is never meant to become a substitute for intimacy with Christ. Mission flows from our intimacy with Jesus. Before these disciples ever speak for Jesus, they sit with him. Before they represent him publicly, they learn and walk with him personally. Before they're sent out into the world, they're gathered to him. Because following Jesus isn't first a task to perform, it's a relationship to live in. It's a life to be lived out. And only intimacy with Jesus gives mission authenticity. Only intimacy with Jesus gives legitimacy to representing him. Because eventually people can tell the difference between someone who's merely talking about Jesus and someone who's actually walking with him. Mission detached from intimacy with Christ eventually just becomes exhausting, heavy, performative. Because when we begin to try to do for Jesus what only ever flows from being with Jesus, that's exhausting. But the pattern in Matthew chapter 10 is unmistakable. Intimacy first, then mission, not the other way around. And honestly, that's one of the great dangers for us, isn't it? Not that we hate Jesus, but that over time we slowly settle for proximity without true intimacy. We can stay around Christian things, church, sermons, ministry, worship, conferences and podcasts, and yet slowly drift away from Jesus himself. Matthew wants us to feel that warning in this chapter, because quietly sitting in that list of disciples is Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. That's confronting, isn't it? Judas isn't outside of the group. He's there amongst the called. Close enough to hear Jesus teach, to see the miracles he performed, to walk with the other disciples, close enough to kiss Jesus, far enough away to betray him. Close enough to kiss Jesus, but far enough away to betray him, because proximity to Jesus isn't the same thing as intimacy with Jesus. And Matthew includes Judas here to remind us of something very, very important, that the hope of the kingdom is never in the impressiveness of his disciples. It was always in Jesus. Jesus calls, Jesus gathers, Jesus sends, Jesus sustains. And that means the hope of the gospel doesn't rest on how impressive we are either. Because the kingdom has always moved forward and still moves forward today through ordinary people remaining close to an extraordinary king. And then in verse 5 there, can you see it? Jesus sends them out. These 12 Jesus sent out. Those gathered by Christ are eventually sent out by him. Mission isn't a detached activity, and it's not an optional extra either. It's an overflow of our abiding with Christ. The disciples aren't sent independently of Jesus, they're sent from him. He sends them out, representing him, carrying his authority, speaking his message to the world, and that matters because many of us quietly think to ourselves, if I just tried harder, if I became more bolder, if I became more capable and competent, then maybe God might use somebody like me. But Jesus never tells his disciples to build his mission in their own capacity. In fact, he deliberately strips it away from them. Look there at verse 9 and 10. No gold, no silver, no bag for the journey, no backup plan, no illusion of control here. Why? Because from the very beginning, discipleship was never meant to run on self-sufficiency. Jesus deliberately strips away our illusion of our own dependence. And honestly, we hate that, don't we? We like certainty, predictability, security, stability, measurable outcomes. We want to have enough confidence and clarity and courage first before we do anything. But Jesus sends his people out in dependence, dependent on God, dependent on his provision, dependent on his faithfulness. Because the kingdom of God doesn't advance through polished self-sufficiency, it advances through dependent people carrying the authority of Christ. And maybe that's confronting for some of us, because often we want mission without dependence on God. We want effectiveness without abiding. We want usefulness without intimacy, events without a context, and activity without any connection. But Jesus never intended his disciples to represent him independently. The mission itself was meant to drive them deeper into dependence. Deeper into prayer, deeper into trust, deeper into abiding with him. Because the Christian life was never meant to become doing things for Jesus while quietly drifting away from him altogether. And that matters for us this morning, because when most of us hear a word like mission, we immediately think missionaries overseas, or pastors, or professional Christians. But Matthew 10 pushes back hard against that, because Jesus sends ordinary people into ordinary places to represent him. Workplaces, schools, neighborhoods, gyms, can you believe it? Sporting clubs, coffee conversations, family dinners, hospital rooms, ordinary places. The kingdom of God comes near through very ordinary faithfulness. They're the means that he uses: a conversation, a prayer, a meal, an invitation, opening the scriptures with someone, checking in on somebody again, sitting with somebody in their grief, speaking about Jesus when it feels awkward. Because when Jesus says in verse 7, the kingdom of heaven has come near, he means that in him now, God's reign and his salvation for the world have finally broken into the world. The king himself has come near, and that's the message that we have. His mercy, his forgiveness, his salvation, his authority. And so now ordinary people like us are sent to announce him. Not ourselves, not our image, not our brand, not our impressiveness. Jesus. Honestly, one of the best lines I've ever heard about mission is this: cross the road before you cross the globe. We can romanticize about mission that it's somewhere else and quietly avoid the people around us. Workmates, neighbors, friends, family members, the person that you see at the gym when you go occasionally, the parent on the sidelines at sport, the lonely person in your street. And often the reason we avoid these moments isn't because we hate people. It's because of fear. We're fearful of awkwardness, fearful of rejection, fear of sounding strange, fear of not knowing enough. Deep down, many Christians feel like, what if I don't know what to say it properly? What if they ask me a question that I can't answer? What if they think I'm a weirdo? And slowly over time, our silence starts to feel easier to us, safer. We tell ourselves, maybe another time. But another time quietly becomes never. And meanwhile, the people around us still carry their grief, their guilt, their loneliness, their fear, the weight of a life lived without Jesus. But Jesus sends ordinary people anyway. Not because they feel naturally impressive, but because his authority is enough. And then in verse 16, the whole tone of this passage suddenly changes. Notice it there with me. I'm sending you out like sheep amongst wolves. Jesus is remarkably honest about mission, isn't he? He doesn't romanticize discipleship here. He doesn't promise applause or comfort or ease or popularity or an expense account in your own private airplane. He says wolves. Opposition. Resistance. Pressure. And honestly, that image is startling because it's not lions amongst wolves. And it's not warriors amongst wolves. It's sheep. Vulnerable. Weak. Defenseless. Exposed. Jesus knowingly sends weak people into difficult places. Why? Because the kingdom of God does not spread through force. It spreads through weak people faithfully representing Jesus in the ordinariness and the day-to-day of life. Following Jesus publicly will sometimes feel costly, awkward, uncomfortable. You'll feel misunderstood. Sometimes people won't want what you bring them. Sometimes obedience feels vulnerable. Sometimes faithfulness feels like weakness. And that's important because a lot of us just quietly assume if I was stronger, if I was bolder, if I was more mature, this wouldn't feel so hard. But Jesus is saying otherwise here, isn't he? He expects this to feel difficult. Which means fear itself isn't proof that you're failing. Quite the opposite. And honestly, for many of us, the greatest barrier to representing Jesus isn't hatred, it's awkwardness. Fear of what other people will think about me. Fear of sounding foolish. Fear of losing approval. Because all of us want to belong. We all want acceptance. None of us enjoys feeling strange. And slowly over the time, the pressure of the world can shape us quietly into silence. We begin to keep our faith private, hidden, safe. Jesus never called his disciples to a hidden or a private discipleship. He sends them out publicly, openly, into the world. And notice this too. Jesus doesn't say, if opposition comes, see it there, he says, when? Because faithfulness to Jesus will always place us at odds with the world around us. Not because Christians are trying to be difficult, but because the kingdom of heaven changes every other kingdom, challenges every other kingdom, every other idol, every other functional savior, every other competing commitment. And yet, despite all of this, Jesus sends out ordinary people anyway. And maybe that's what you need to hear this morning. Because some of you sit there feeling deeply ordinary. Ordinary faith, ordinary struggles, ordinary weakness, ordinary life, inconsistent, fearful, unremarkable, unimportant. And maybe you've quietly come to believe that Jesus could never really use someone like you, or ever use someone like you again after what's happened to you, or after what you did. But Matthew 10 says otherwise. Jesus has always worked through ordinary, fearful, weak, imperfect, unknown people like us. And then Jesus says this in verse 22. The one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Endurance matters. Remaining with him matters. Faithfulness to him matters, because the people who endure faithfully aren't necessarily the most gifted or the most impressive. They are the people who keep returning to Jesus again and again and again to be with him. And that means the Christian life is much more ordinary than we ever imagined, thought, or possibly hoped that it would be. Prayer, repentance, faith, turning up, speaking about Jesus, loving people even when they're difficult, trusting Jesus again and again and again, ordinary faithfulness over time. That's how the kingdom of God comes near. The kingdom of heaven doesn't move forward through impressive people performing for Jesus. It moves forward through ordinary people remaining close to Jesus. People who know him, who walk with him, who depend on him, who remain in him. Because only intimacy with Christ gives authenticity to mission. Intimacy first, then mission, not the other way around. The hope of the kingdom has never rested in the impressiveness of his disciples. It was never Peter. It was never Matthew. It was never the 12. It was always Jesus. The king who sends them, the king who goes before them, the king whose authority that they carry. And that means that the kingdom of heaven comes near today through ordinary people like us. Not because we're impressive, but because Jesus is. And so, friends, this week, cross the road before you cross the globe. Go to the people that God's already sent you to. Move towards someone. Open your mouth about Jesus to them. Pray for courage. Speak about him, not about yourself. Not because you feel powerful, but because the kingdom of heaven has now come near. Let's pray. Our Father, we want to thank you for a passage like Matthew chapter 10, and even though we've only looked at part of it this week, and we'll look at more of it next week in more detail, we want to thank you for what it tells us about ourselves and about you. That you use ordinary people, and that we need to be faithful in the ordinary things of life over time in order to bring about the fulfillment of your kingdom. So would you help us this week, Lord Jesus, to cross the road, to speak to the people that you've already sent us to pray for them, to speak with them, to be courageous with the gospel, knowing that you speak through weak, vulnerable, ordinary people like us, because you are an extraordinary king with an extraordinary kingdom, and an extraordinary message of love and faith and forgiveness, of acceptance and kindness. Would you forgive us for being fearful?
Would you forgive us for thinking too much of ourselves and what other people might think about us? Instead, would you help us to hear what you say about us, that we are yours? For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.